USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The battle over the Mueller report is escalating in Congress. President Trump is asserting executive privilege in an effort to seal Special Counsel Robert Mueller's unredacted final report. Now, senators are able to read that report, though, and none of them on the Democratic side of the aisle, at least, have chosen to read that full unredacted report. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy tells Fox News Democrats are struggling after there was no collusion found between Russia and the Trump campaign.
They don't like the results of the Mueller investigation. The Mueller report is all of a sudden an impurity in their punch bowl.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is offering changes to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act of 1977. Under the changes, debt collectors would be able to send unlimited texts, emails, and private messages. Consumers, though, would be able to opt out of those methods of collection. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug. Is that your pet Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an Emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, one could
say. So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheet Special. You'll find out all about them and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheet Special, use my promo code USA.
The Navy will deploy a hospital ship to help refugees from Venezuela. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The USNS Comfort's to be deployed to the Caribbean, Central America, and South America after what Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan calls a highly choreographed effort to get medical personnel on board. A statement by U.S. Southern Command says the Comfort staff will help relieve pressure on medical systems in countries hosting Venezuelans who have fled the chaotic nation. The Comfort is scheduled to deploy from Virginia's Naval Station Norfolk in June.
The Department of Justice has charged two Israeli citizens with multiple charges in connection with an online black market drug ring. Scott Brady is the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Pennsylvania.
We unsealed a criminal indictment charging the owners and administrators of deep.web.com, Tal Prahar and Michael Fan, with a money laundering conspiracy.
Both suspects are in custody, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A student at the STEM school Highland Ranch says the victim in yesterday's shooting was a hero. Nui Giasalo says Kendrick Costello attempted to tackle the gunman when he pulled the gun on his fellow classmates.
And that's when Kendrick lunged at him, and he shot Kendrick, giving all of us enough time to get underneath our desks, to get ourselves safe, and to run across the room to escape.
Colorado Democratic Governor Jared Polis says schools should be safe places for children.
You know, schools should really be places where students can learn and grow. We shouldn't have to worry about being marched out or being airlifted to hospitals or even losing one's life in a place that's supposed to be a safe place for all students.
A hearing for one of the suspects will be held this afternoon. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar is telling drug companies they need to put their prices on their products in television ads beginning in July.
President Trump today is requiring that drug companies that run those TV ads to disclose the list prices of their drugs in those ads. It's time for the pharma companies to start leveling with the American people about what their drugs cost.
Azar also talks about the kind of changes he expects to see from this change.
Well, we think list prices are going to go down. We think that this will cause drug companies to see an impact on their sales. If their prices are too high and people find that they're too high, they're going to have informed discussions now with their doctors.
Azar was speaking there on Fox News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
From St. George News Radio, here's what's trending today on stgeorgenews.com. Utah Attorney General Sean D. Reyes announced Tuesday that he had joined a bipartisan coalition of 42 attorneys general calling on the Federal Communications Commission to take further action to stop the growing proliferation of illegal robocalls and spoofing. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is changing its rules about civil ceremonies. On Monday, the church ended the one-year waiting period between a civil marriage and a temple sealing. And a refurbished Big Boy locomotive heads to Ogden for the Transcontinental Railroad Anniversary Tour. Details on these and other breaking news stories from stgeorgenews.com. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, partly cloudy, 20% chance of rain today, 76, partly cloudy and 58 tonight, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of rain tomorrow and 69. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Freedom or free stuff? You only get to choose one. Call 888-673-1450. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was born in a cellar at home, delivered by Dr. McGraw. We had one bedroom for my sister, myself, and my parents. We had a half bath and a kitchen. 7.5 years we lived in that place. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There was no safety net. But I always had plenty to eat. Because every time I asked for seconds, my dad would say, no, you had plenty. But the reason I was born with a silver spoon, my dad had only gone to the third grade. That's all the education he had. But why was I born with a silver spoon in my mouth? Because I was taught by my parents that life's a matter of making choices. Wherever you are, good or bad, because of choices you make. Don't blame anybody else, but if you get an education, you're willing to work and overcome problems and difficulties in this great country, you can amount to something. That's why I was born with a silver spoon. I was in this country and I was taught personal responsibility for choices you make.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. It's a Wednesday, isn't it? I'll go through headlines probably in the last hour of the show, but maybe some today. I actually want to have a really good discussion today about, and I want to go into like a deeper level from what we talked about yesterday, if that's okay. I also want to talk a little bit about the border, and I loved Chris Herod's comments on Deseret News, because I sort of had the same experience with Deseret News too. But I want to talk about their stance and what he thought of the border situation too. So we're going to get there as well. I have Melissa coming on today. I have Ben, usually from Defending Utah, comes on Wednesdays. So he'll be joining me on Friday, and we'll do a wrap up, and we'll get to some of the big issues going on in Utah in this hour on Friday. So just kind of letting you know, Susan joins me in the last hour, and we're going to have to talk about Mueller, we're going to have to talk about Barr, we're going to have to talk about some of the things going on. Iran, that's ramping up. I had no doubt, because this is the playbook. So we'll get to hear more about that. And I think going into some deeper issues today is a good idea. I first want to start off, though, with the funniest headline I've read today. Sheep enrolled. Sorry. This was on Fox News. Sheep enrolled at school in France as students to save classes. Let me say that again. Actual sheep, the animal, enrolled at school in France as students to fill the seats to save classes. There's a lot of truth to that headline, isn't there? A farmer in France has taken a unique idea to boost boost student numbers. I'm sorry, at a primary school, enrolling 15 sheep to save classes that were at risk of being canceled. Yep, he chose sheep, and I just crack up at this. Could have chosen any other animal, but he chose sheep. How fitting. A lot of truth to that headline. Usually there's no truth, but that one, we got it on the nose. So I want to bring this up, and it's kind of a serious conversation, I guess. I think it's going a few levels deeper so that we can really explore this. And I want your phone calls on this. So we'll take this whole hour. I want to talk about this because I think this is such a great thing. I got a letter from a listener, and I'm not going to say the name or anything like that because I actually loved this letter. I really did, and I thought there was a lot of heart in this letter, and it was off the heels of yesterday's show. And I really thought that this person, I mean, they sound awesome, and I totally understand where they're coming from. Truly, I do. And I'm putting that out there because as I go through this, I really want to point out what I was talking about yesterday in maybe a deeper sense. Low-income housing is just one product of the government that seems to come up a lot. And it's been coming up since the 60s. And I think that there are some, this is a great moment to maybe delve into history a little bit and tell you kind of the what I'm seeing. And also I want to share a headline with you, an actual headline from 1910 or 1912. And it was up in Ogden, in the Ogden newspaper. And I want to describe how they were viewing this very, very problem. So, and what their thoughts on it were over 100 years ago, almost 110 years ago. And it's very thought-provoking. So this is what we're going to do in this hour. So the letter I got made some really great points about low-income housing. And although I understand where this person's coming from, and I actually applaud that they took the time to write this letter, so thank you very much. I really do. This letter kind of started off with sort of the things we talked about yesterday that we brought up, because what happened yesterday, we were bringing up low-income housing because a council member in Washington City was referring to scripture, and they were referring to Matthew in scripture, and they were saying, you know, when you're helping people, you know, this is where the heart is. This is where we should all be doing it because of scripture, because, you know, we were Christ taught to help everybody. But he didn't teach for the government. I don't think Christ taught that the government continuously racks up the theft department of taxes and takes from the citizen to pay for things that people should be paying for themselves. Okay, and so we thought it was a little screwy in using scripture to justify cities and counties and so forth doing these types of things, and the problem I have is when we don't understand, I think, where the money's actually coming from and why. And so I welcome you on this conversation, 888-673-1450. I do want your thoughts on this. So the first thought on this was, and this is such a great teaching moment, I actually hope that you play this hour for your teens and your college students and people in your life that might need to kind of, I think, understand more about this. And I'll give you my perspective. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. Okay. So truly, I understand that people care and want to help. And we talked about it being not just transitional housing, but permanent housing, because that's what it kind of ends up being. And this person disagreed with me. They said that basically it is the taxpayers paying to build places for low-income intergenerational poverty families to live, and it is housing individuals who have had not, you know, who don't have the family support. They don't have the education. They don't have the life skills to move forward on their own. And of course, yesterday we said, you know, most low-income housing projects do nothing really to help the residents better their situation and move out of poverty. It gives them a vehicle, but it doesn't do much except give them the rent that they were probably looking for to live in the community that they probably wanted to live in. Okay. And so this person was talking about Riverwalk and saying it was much different than transitional housing projects, and that we have to understand how Switchpoint Community Resource Center came to being. Switchpoint also gets a little help. And so this is the problem I have with this, is in citing where this project got their help and where Switchpoint, which helps the homeless, gets their help. This is a problem for me. And it's a problem for me because it dials back to, again, the government, local, state, and federal. So the St. George City back probably, 7 years ago, was seeking a better solution for the growing homeless population. So they decided to come in with a sweeping sort of resolution and answer. And the current little shelter they had was at capacity, and so they wanted to do something a little bigger. And so they were a catalyst for helping this shelter come to be. Well, when we say city, we mean us. City can't do anything without the funds that come from you and I. And so in citing where the money comes from, what I found was kind of interesting was citing that, you know, this portion comes from, a tax credit portion is $5 million. That, again, goes back to our money because it's going back to credits. It's going back to our taxes, okay? Also, the Olean Walker funding from the state of Utah, that's taxpayer monies. That's $1.3 million went into that project. The city of St. George provided land that was obtained through a land swap. That land swap originated from the very thing we're talking about, us. So even though it was a land swap from 20 years ago, it still was using the resources of taxpayer funds. Because here's the deal. When you're talking about cities, when you're talking about city funding, what I find kind of interesting about this is that that cities have to rely on all of us. We have to rely on all of us because otherwise there's no way to do it, right? Cities and municipalities and counties and school districts rely on property taxes to raise money for their budgets. Local governments then use the money they collect from property taxes to help fund all these public services that they provide. So the more money a local government spends, the higher the property tax bill goes to make up for any budget shortfalls. That's how it works. High home prices mean more property tax dollars for a county, making the taxes location dependent. So those dollars are reflected in the quality of the schools and the public amenities serving the county. So before buying a property, you know, you check the tax rate because that's basically you're going to see that rise. And so what counties and cities do is they support local school districts, they provide public safety, they maintain streets, of course there's these basic items, right? So it's important to know that because along the way, when they have property, when they do a swap, that means they gave up property that they acquired through your tax dollars. Or they sold property they acquired for money. It can work in a myriad of ways. It still comes back to us. It still comes back to the taxpayer. They can't do anything without us. So there were funds that came in, private donations. That's great. Actually, I like that. I think that's fantastic. That was in the form of several million. And then $50,000 came from individuals in the community. That's great. I like that too. There was a lot of private donors, LDS Church, Eccles Foundation, Larry H. Miller, Atwood. So not every penny came from tax dollars. But the project without the land and the project itself, the bulk of those monies came from taxpayers. And that's what I have a problem with, is that we're constantly using government to solve this problem. And so when you say, well, the monies came from other organizations, even the Dove Center, as much as I love the Dove Center and what it does, it came from the origin of state. The state originated that project. The funds came from there. It always goes back to the taxpayer. Anytime you're going to involve any government whatsoever within the state, this is a problem. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Stop stressing about retirement and start educating yourself instead. Join Abe Ashton for Your Family and Your Retirement, Tuesday afternoon at 5 on Fox News Radio 93.1 FM and 1450 KZNU.
At America First, we try to bring the feeling of home into every home loan. Whether you're building, buying, or refinancing, we want to make sure that your home loan experience feels like home.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? Are you tired of paying high fees and commissions, even when you're losing money? Lyle Boss specializes in safe money accounts with guarantee of principal, guaranteed growth, and income you can never outlive. Join Lyle Boss for Safe Money Radio every Friday at 5 to 6 and Saturday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Are you trying to lose weight and get in shape? Are you trying to recover from an injury or surgery? Or are you trying to improve your overall health? A swim spa or hot tub can offer you a multitude of options to lose weight, get in shape, and improve your cardiovascular health. Absolute Comfort Spa and Pool has an amazing combination hot tub swim spa unit. Let Absolute Spa show you how quick, easy, and affordable it can be to own your own hot tub or swim pool. Absolute Comfort Spa and Pool, 765 North Bluff Street or AbsoluteComfortUtah.com to learn more.
Stuckey Family Pharmacy wants to be your partner in wellness.
Pre-packaging is just one of the services that sets Stuckey Family Pharmacy apart. If you take several medications, vitamins, or supplements each day, it can get confusing. With pre-packaging, all your pills will be organized by day and time. Just rip off the pack and you're set. Ask about the free pre-packaging next time you stop by Stuckey Family Pharmacy.
Stuckey Family Pharmacy, your partner in wellness. Off Telegraph near Kohl's or at StuckeyFamilyPharmacy.com.
Hey, this is Steve with Garage Doors Only. Did you know that each year over 10,000 people are hurt or injured attempting to repair their own garage door? At Garage Doors Only, our team of professionals can safely repair or replace your garage door or motor. Our business is family owned and operated, and we service all of Southern Utah and the Mesquite area. Don't be a statistic. Call the professionals at Garage Doors Only, 435-868-1200.
The Southwest Symphony is excited to host youth singing sensation Lexi Walker for a show-stopping season finale performance Friday, May 17th at 7:30. Lexi has performed alongside Kristen Chenoweth and the Piano Guys, and she's toured as an opening act for Clint Black. Don't miss this one-night-only performance. May 17th with the Southwest Symphony. Tickets on sale now. For more information, go to swsutah.org.
The community is invited to join St. George Mayor John Pike and the City Council at our next Neighborhood Open House, May 9th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Historic Town Square, located at 50 South Main Street near the Splash Pad. Mingle with elected officials and each City of St. George department to get a better feel for what's going on in your city, as well as provide feedback or suggestions. Also, enjoy free hot dogs and free carousel rides between 6 and 8. Everyone is invited. See you there Thursday, May 9th at Historic Town Square.
Thanks for listening to The Kate Daly Show. All opinions expressed by the program participants on The Kate Daly Show are solely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of St. George News Radio, KZNU, Canyon Media, or their respective parent companies or advertisers. If you'd like to comment directly, talk lines are open at 888-673-1450. That's 888-673-1450. Or you may email directly at kate@canyonmedia.net.
At our Best Mattress Memorial Day sale, you'll save up to $1,000 on brands you know and trust. Serta, Beautyrest, Tempur-Pedic, and now Sealy and Stearns and Foster. And get up to 72 months of 0% interest. Best Mattress, home of the Sleep Easy Guarantee.
Prince Anthony was the handsomest man in the entire kingdom.
Ma'am, am I handsome?
His fondest wish was to find a beautiful bride.
Of course, she doesn't have to be as stunning as me.
But Prince Anthony couldn't find one. Why? Well, because he never left the palace.
Being this pretty isn't easy.
He spent all day lifting weights and getting his back waxed. And trimming and grooming and tweezing and plucking.
Perfecting perfection.
Meanwhile, his less good-looking but far more charming brother Benji found a bride. So did his rather unattractive cousins and even his flat-out butt-ugly Uncle Stanley.
I don't understand it. I am way better looking than any of them.
Unfortunately, none of the women in the kingdom knew this because none of them had ever seen him.
Not if they ever did.
But they didn't. So Prince Anthony spent his entire life all alone until he was old and toothless, bald and fat, saggy and rather flabby.
At least my back isn't very hairy.
You may have the best product or service in the world, but if nobody knows about it, you just have the best product or service in the world. It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Glad you're tuning in. Go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts of the show after the show. And then you can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. I love all your messages. And I'm only going through this message because she brought up great points. And I want to commend this listener for doing that. I mean, I think it's great. And I want to address it. And I think that it's worthy of addressing because there are such great points. And I think a lot of people understand or think that that we have, and I'm glad that people want to help, and I'm glad that they want to do programs that help people. That's, I'm not against it. What I'm saying is let's be honest about where that money's coming from, and do they have the authority to do it? That's the huge question here. We're talking about low-income housing. So when we're talking about where the money comes from, and we cite organizations that can go right back to government funding, even Habitat for Humanity, people think that Habitat for Humanity is like private donations. I think there are people out there that think that. It's actually not. In fact, in 2017, Congress reached an agreement on the fiscal year 2017 budget and the outcome for Habitat for Humanity, because the funding levels for the federal programs that support their ability to provide home ownership opportunities to low-income families, the majority of it comes from us, our tax dollars federally. So even when we cite Habitat for Humanity among the organizations that are helping, and we say, well, that's separate than city and county, it is. It's still our tax dollars. We pay federal, we pay state, we pay county. So this is all tax dollars, again, helping. And so that's a problem, because it's not just because we're going to a Segway nonprofit that gets their money from government doesn't mean they don't get their money from government. And so you have SwitchPoint. I think what SwitchPoint does is great. I'd love to see it solely work on its own through donations, because I've seen organizations do that, and I think it's really healthy and a really good way for people to help and people to volunteer their time, which I like about it. But I'm not a fan of getting funding or having it come from the genesis of city and county. Because not only do you have those strings, but you also have a bank account sitting there that can be dedicated toward you. And I don't like that as much, obviously. So they helped, let's say they helped 5,000 people. That's great. But do you think we have enough residents in this community that would help 5,000 people themselves if they didn't have anything to help people? I actually think they would. It's just that we don't, because there's no reason to. Because we have programs that take our tax dollars and do it for us, and then tell us that we should feel good about it because they're doing it for us, which I don't approve of. I don't think that's okay. I think that if you're a volunteer and you want to help under an umbrella of a nonprofit, I think that's fantastic. I see the Doctors Volunteer Clinic do this. I see different organizations do this. I like it because they're not using federal funds over there. And so that's great. And there's lots of, I think, organizations, too, that that can exist without government involvement. I really do. So, again, citing that, let's say, give an example, as this person did, of a father of 13. A father of 13 kids living on a salary of $700 doing construction. Well, a father of 13 would probably be more in their late 30s, maybe early 40s. If they're working construction, I don't think they're still at $7 an hour after 20 years in a career, which it would sound like this person was. And so so the reference was, this person makes $700 a year, tries to pay their rent, and has a shortfall. A month, $700 a month, and has a shortfall. Well, a person even making $12 an hour would make around $2,000 a month with enough dependents to probably not have a whole lot taken out of your check. And I'm not even getting to the earned income credit, am I? So on that one would be huge on the earned income credit. But here again lies another problem, and that is that a father of 13 that would choose to have 13 kids on a salary where the wife stays home and obviously, doesn't do anything out of the home and just is there with the kids, probably can't make it too many places in America. And they're right. This person's right about that. Yet, at the same time, then the argument comes, well, what about those people that were raised here that want to stay here and can't afford it because they can't find something for $500 or $400? You know, the hard part about this conversation is going to make me sound cold-hearted, and I'm not. It's just that our life choices. If you were raised here, I'm going to gather that you might have had some circumstances that were benefiting to you because you're raised in a pretty nice little community. If you find yourself in a situation where you can't make any money, then I would probably suggest going to a city where you can, because then you'll probably find other options for housing, or maybe renting a basement, or maybe, you know, renting somebody's little side apartment, something that will work for you. It might not be what you want, but there always is something there for people. How about a trailer? People live in them all the time. There are a lot of things and choices that we make based on the previous choices of our life. In some cases, I can see where, because I work with special needs, where special needs might not have a lot of options. Yet, just like I did, I took them into my home and I cared for them personally. There are a lot of people willing to do that. But yet we cut that option out and we say, well, you know, that's that, but that's not the answer. Well, an answer for somebody that truly cannot live on their own, or truly cannot make any money to live on their own, or even an elderly person who is stuck on a very, very low income courtesy of Social Security, still has to make choices where they rent a room, or they're with a family, or with a family member somewhere. And that's usually what people seek to do. You go and somebody in the family, says, what did somebody tell me the other day? We're the, what was it? The geezer keeper, we're the geezer keepers. And so, you know, the kids end up, helping family members that are in that sort of state. And if they're not, there are people that are willing to do that. So the no housing available is a, I think that is the wrong argument, because just because somebody wants to live in a certain neighborhood doesn't mean that they always can. And I know people don't like to hear that, right? And so when I hear these arguments, what I'm hearing loudly in my ear is emotion, emotion, emotion. It still comes back to the authority of the government and what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. I know that they feel good as people trying to go out and help other people. I get it, because I feel good when I help people too. And I've helped a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too. And even despite government doing it, doesn't mean that I do it less. I help people all the time. I don't broadcast it, but I do. And I know you do too. At the same time, we still have to recognize that when you're helping, you're usually going to be very temporary about it. And so the argument was made in this letter that a lot of people don't have skills. They just don't have skills. And so they arrive there and they're pretty permanent because they don't have the skills. Well, I would suggest then people offering up of their own volition skills classes, training, somebody somewhere training somebody else on how to do something. Give them a leg up by training them, interning them, whatever somebody needs to do. But when people use productivity, they seem to conquer all of the very things that were just stated in this last 30 minutes. When productivity comes into play, or creativity, because somebody's volunteering themselves, totally different situation than plunder. And plunder is theft. It's when the government takes your money. What I found kind of interesting is that there was actually an argument for this. There was an argument for why taxation is not theft. And I want to give you the argument, because you're going to see how ridiculous this is. Think of taxes like paying rent. The state owns the land, and if you want to live on the land, you must pay rent. What's wrong with that statement? Well, a lot. So the problem with that statement is you aren't supposed to pay taxes like paying rent. The state isn't supposed to own the land. In the Constitution, it was very clear what part of the lands that the government could actually own. And they actually identified it. And it was a very tiny, little, tiny piece of land. And they actually identified actually exactly how big it is. So it's really, really tiny. The problem is that the government has sought to own lands everywhere, all over the country. And I know you know this. We talked about it on the show. But we're not supposed to pay rent to the government for the very land we live on. We should be working towards home ownership and land ownership. And then when you own that land, They don't even have the authority to actually charge you to live there. Yet, they have passed regulations and they have passed things that where we think they have the authority to do this. There was no grounds for it, but they did it. Sometimes what is lawful doesn't exactly mean it's right. It just means it's lawful. So here we have a situation where people try to take down that argument and it doesn't work, does it? Because it doesn't go back to the very principle. The things that were stated in the Constitution are very, very clear. And that is that, yes, this is what government can do and this is what government cannot do. So basically, instead of saying what government can't do, it basically said government needs to defend these things because it was based on a principle. It wasn't an outline for everything they couldn't do because they couldn't think that far ahead for all the different decades that would come along and the things that would happen. So they basically said it in principle. Those principles don't work when you get to city and county and the buying of property and the forming of groups that really sort of dive into socialism because they're taking your money to then put into a program that is basically helping, but you don't get a say in that. And I'm not talking about democracy. What I'm talking about is that you don't get the say so in volunteering to help somebody. They want to do it for you government style. And I'll say this about doing things government style. The government, there was an article today about the governor's suicide prevention fund, and it awarded $247,000 of our tax money to 9 organizations, including one in Southern Utah. Now I ask you this as we go to break, they started giving out millions and millions and millions of dollars to suicide. Has that helped because they're throwing money at it? Has cancer research, has that been helped because they're throwing money at it? It seems that no matter what we do, we think money's the answer. We think throwing money at public schools is the answer. We think throwing money at suicide prevention is the answer. This article could have said $6 billion to 9 organizations. And I don't even think anyone would have batted an eye. Why? Because we are so used to the government taking our money and putting it into programs that they oversee. Now, can you tell me one program that the government has ever overseen that has actually worked? Because they've thrown money at a lot of things. But I've never seen any of it reduce the amount of the problem. It's their only solution. It's never reduced anything. The numbers have only grown. So if we haven't learned that lesson by now, when are we going to learn that lesson? Throwing money at this hasn't worked at all. So let me go here when we come back. I want to take you on a little history lesson. This is so good. And I want to go back to 1910, what was written in the Ogden newspaper. This is very interesting. Very interesting. I love this. I'll be right back with it in just a moment. Stay with me on The Kate Daly Show.
Want to participate in stock market gains with zero risk? Join Lyle Boss of Boss Financial Saturday mornings at 9
on St. George News Radio 1450.
WMI Mutual Insurance Company has been insuring seniors and offering Medicare supplement policies for more than 30 years. They've earned a reputation for personal, courteous, and professional service, as well as accurate claim processing and affordable premiums. Understanding all of the insurance programs being offered to you is exhausting. Make it simple and easy. Visit WMIMedigap.com or call 801-263-8000 today to speak with a licensed company representative. This is a solicitation of insurance.
Who doesn't love a bargain? Nielsen RV understands, so they're throwing a scratch and dent event. Now's the time to buy that RV you've always wanted. Some new, some used, some with a scratch, some with a dent, but all at huge savings. Discounts up to $45,000. Prices start at just $3,500 and financing available too. Don't miss the bargains at the Nielsen RV Scratch and Dent event going on now on State Street in Hurricane, Sunland Drive under the giant American flag, or nielsenrv.com.
Just imagine an all-inclusive resort experience in sunny St. George, an 18-hole championship golf course, tennis courts, restaurant, swimming pool, and drinks served to you as you're lounging at the pool. Sound like a dream? It's reality at the brand new nightly rental Bloomington Villas at Bloomington Country Club. These new villas are now selling starting at $399.9. For more info, visit bloomingtonvillas.com.
Don't miss Financial Strategies, Saturday at noon on St. George News Radio, 1450 AM and 93.1 FM. Financial Strategies, hosted by Trevor Carlson, will introduce you to the products and professionals that will provide you with the best strategies and tools to live more abundantly. Tune in every Saturday at noon to Financial Strategies, right here on St. George News Radio, 1450 AM and 93.1 FM. Financial Strategies is brought to you by Heritage Reverse Mortgage, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1497455.
My name is Shane Curran. I've been in recovery for over 5 years, and I worked for Lionsgate Recovery. I didn't see people, I saw them as just means and ends to get what I wanted, and what I wanted was to get high, and it was the only thing that drove me, you know. Saved my life was that friend, like, telling me that I wasn't going to make it unless I changed. I've been through this, that truly just want to help and know what you're going through. Yeah, if there's someone out there struggling, you can do this.
Lionsgate Recovery. People in recovery, helping people find recovery.
Hi, this is Kate Daly, and I love my sponsors. Copiers for Sale offers Southern Utah the best quality and pricing on printers, copiers, and plotters. They sell, lease, and service any equipment your business or home office needs. Copiersforsale.com, a local company and division of Steamroller Copies, is always asking, what do you want to print today? No matter your situation, Bank of Utah Home Loans can help with the right home loan for you. Call Brian and the Bank of Utah Home Loans team today. 435-986-7221. Bank of Utah Home Loans, helping you grow no matter what stage of life you're in.
Recovering from an injury or surgery can be so difficult. Are you looking to make your healing process easier, faster, and better? At Inside Out Hyperbaric and Wellness, we help patients improve the quality and speed of their recoveries up to 70%. Our hyperbaric oxygen and stem cell therapies trigger a repair response within your tissues, and other regenerative solutions naturally unlock your body's healing power. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 634-9355. 634-9355. Inside Out Hyperbaric and Wellness, bringing out the best in you.
Whether your mother is near or far, she will feel your love even closer with a beautiful Mother's Day bouquet from Cameo Florist. When May blooms roses, orchids, and tulips, you know it's time. Cameo's custom-designed fresh bouquets pair their beautiful flowers with Cameo's keepsake gift vase as a gentle reminder your mom's the best. Stop by St. George on Tabernacle or South State Street in Hurricane. TheCameoFlorist.com. That's TheCameoFlorist.com.
Cameo says it then.
With the changing temperatures, heating and cooling systems can struggle to keep all areas of your house comfortable, like your bonus rooms, garage, enclosed patios, master bedrooms, casitas, and more. Air care professionals can help these troubled areas with their Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating ductless system, offering individual comfort control to a more personal, defined space. Purchase a system from Air Care Professional this month and get up to $300 off and 0% equipment financing options OAC. Call 628-2423 or online at aircarepros.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Melissa's coming on next hour, Susan following, and all kinds of headlines, all kinds of stuff today. We'll talk more on hunger tomorrow a little bit, too, with Uncle Milty. Chris Ann Hall joins us tomorrow as well. On Friday, we have a fantastic show with a guy that goes up into the mountains, takes groups up into the mountains, and teaches them how to live. And so he's fantastic at prepping, and he's fantastic at figuring out what to utilize. And so he'll be on the show, and I'm really happy about that. All right. Make sure you go to defendingutah.org. Ben will be joining me on Friday. Defendingutah.org is fantastic. You know this because he's on the show and he's always covering his stories. And really and truly, they are so hard at work. I've never seen somebody work harder at journalism and making sure that they get it right. Defending Utah is such an organization. And also, they can teach you how to be effective. There's so many tools that they have. Sign up for the newsletter, support them, whatever the case. They are fantastic. And I know they try so hard to get to the honest truth. And you know what? When I go through the KSL, you know, blurbs, it's so interesting to me how much indoctrination is there. And so I implore you. I won't be able to get to Chris Harrod's comments today with the Deseret News, but I will do that tomorrow because it's that important. And I thought the point he made about the border was so good because I do want to finish this. This is a great topic to talk about. And I think one that we all need to be informed on. In the Ogden, I think it was the Ogden Standard back in 1910, this is what somebody had written into the paper. They had written an article and they were talking about people moving off of the farms and going into the big cities because the cities had the problems of people that had problems getting their hands on food and didn't seem to have a ton of money. And so this person said, we do not hear the suffering here because we have, I don't have my glasses, I apologize, because we have not the industries and population, the indigent and poor we have in this immediate locality are simply provided for by those who do their beautiful work for all, regardless of color, creed, or religion. And they went on to say, but while he may be enjoying the fruits of plenty in the Golden West, they weren't seeing these problems. They were just taking care of those in need. They said the suffering of others cannot fall to touch a sympathetic people. And so it said a few days ago, the Red Cross Society of America sent $5,000, a lot of money in that time in 1910, to China to furnish food for the Celestials who are starving. Celestials was kind of an interesting word, who are starving. And I actually love that word, starving. While within a few hours ride of our capital, where the money has been sent from, are thousands of people in want. Carnegie gave $10,000 contribution. And Rockefeller Foundation gave $10,000 and all of these organizations. But the world applauds such actions as these and the churches endeavor to receive calls for people and money from the Far East to help them. The requests are made safe in the name of Christianity and charity while in America. The great land of liberty, men, women, and children must starve because charity does not begin at home. It was an interesting statement. And the reason I bring it up is because it did start at home. And the person very eloquently stated that all throughout the article, that they were able to take care of their poor and indigent. Why? Because they said it was less people, but also because they knew who they were. And so different people went in to help. This is before welfare programs came along. So I found that to be kind of interesting. And they were citing, you know, look at, we're giving all this money overseas. Think about that for a moment. They're giving money overseas. I was remembering yesterday about Farm Aid and all of these different organizations that have cropped up that seek to feed people here in the United States. Where did all that money go? Have you ever wondered? And so I was looking back in history and I was kind of taking a walk down history lane, if you will. By the time the Declaration of Independence in 1776 was signed, the hunger was already considerably less severe in Western Europe. And by 1750, we had a very low population of people that hungered or helped provide actually a longer life expectancy than Europe. We were at 51 years and they were at 37 years. France was 26 years old. So by 1800, life expectancy had improved, and we were actually doing quite well. Why? Well, we had the structure of capitalism. We also had the beginnings of it, which it's always going to be a little rough going, isn't it? But we had that structure in place. We had the freedoms in place early on in this country. And so even in the early 19th century, even the poorest citizens of the United States were really protected from hunger by a number of different factors. They were protected, a ratio of land to population was high. Even in the late 1800s, each person actually had enough land to till about 17 acres, I think it was, 17 acres. And so we had the West, we didn't have a huge problem. The only problems were very, very concentrated in some of the bigger cities. That's where they saw a problem because people would congregate, couldn't live off the land, were kind of packed in. And so you saw some problems emerge there. But still, I wanna make sure I say this. Starvation was never on top of the list for communities. Poverty was there, but it was never top of the list on anything. Because like this author said, you know, on the Ogden Standard in 1910, we help our poor and indigent. The people did. Not programs, not the Rockefellers, none of those guys, not government. No, it was the people. So in the case of the 19th century, or let's go into Roaring Twenties. Roaring Twenties helped lower food prices. During World War I, the U.S. was able to send over 20 million pounds of food to relieve hunger in Europe. In fact, look at how much we send over to other countries right now. Look at how we even had, do you remember in the mid-80s, we had the one to feed Africa, remember? The big concert to feed Africa. And by feeding Africa, you know, obviously we don't have a very, very huge problem here with the poor. We don't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be funding every single country and sending money to every other country for aid. We've been doing this for a very long time. And we were doing this in the 20s. We even had so much, we were sending it over. So then you go into the Great Depression of the 30s. And you can say that, yeah, there were some people that were very hungry in the 30s and they were standing in some lines, right? Not everybody, but there was a significant amount of people for that period of time, that very small period of time. But we had soup kitchens and bread lines that were run by private sector. And so the government-sponsored relief came along in a time when we actually were very much against that as a population. But we had the New Deal, we had Roosevelt, and we had the government-established alphabet agencies that were seeking to relieve the poor. Seeking to help, right? And they wanted to reduce unemployment, so the government got started to get very, very involved. We did have a problem with crops in the 30s and the Great Depression. Other than that, we've actually been on a course upward, which has kind of been, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? So experts will cite the 50s as a problem because in the 60s, they decided for the first time to diagnose poverty and to give poverty a level. This is what you make if you're in poverty. Why did they do that? Because the experts weighed in and they said, well, in the 50s, people had to spend a third of their income on food. Is that true? Well, the average income was $3,300 a month. A loaf of bread was, oh gosh, what was it, like 18 cents, 9 cents, 18 cents, somewhere in there. Your average car was $2,200 over time. You had eggs, you know, you could get really, really cheap, under 20 cents. You could get a burger for 15 cents. So I guess on the choices that you made, yeah, probably not a time of extravagance, but it was a time when we certainly didn't have starvation coming out of this country in droves. People were able to feed themselves. Maybe not with what they exactly wanted to, but they were able to. Even a gallon of gas was 30 cents. So you could afford to drive and you could afford to eat on the average salary. In one decade, we took a huge hike in salary. We went $10,000 more. We bumped it up to the mid-60s by about $4,300. That was the median income. But for some reason, Robert Kennedy, who loved government programs, and Nixon decided that they needed to re-examine the poverty level in America based on a trip by Robert Kennedy to a certain small part of Mississippi, which he pretty much gauged as the entire nation having an issue. The entire nation didn't have an issue. But that's what he used when he said that we had people going hungry, was a very, very small area in Mississippi. The problem with our history is it doesn't exactly tell the truth. And they had about 15 deaths per 1,000 people in 1910 because of a lot of things. We had some diseases. We had different things going on. We had 15 deaths. Now we have about 8 deaths per 1,000. All across the world, actually, it's pretty comparable to that number. And so when we're talking about the poor, when in the 60s they decided to reevaluate and go in and start passing government programs through Congress to help the poor, affordable housing, welfare programs, and that's when they decided that, hey, we need to make this easier. People need to pick their food. They need to do it more discreetly. This is what started that, was in the 60s. And as they started moving through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they started kind of telling an untruth, and that was that we were so poor and starving that we had to have government intervene. Do you know how much money goes into these programs that we never see again? Because I guarantee you, if you try to research how many starvation deaths in America throughout the last century from starvation that you will find from people being poor, you're simply not going to be able to find anything. In fact, the only numbers they can come up with are world numbers. Why? Because they have to tie in third world countries to the equation, because they don't have those numbers for this country, because it didn't even make the list when the CDC was doing its report. It didn't even make the list. That's huge. That is huge. So did we really have a starvation problem from poverty? Were we so poor? It's kind of like the opening clip. He was poor, but they had a lot of other things besides money. So when it comes to affordable housing, let me say this. If you have to make different choices because for some reason the choices in your life didn't give you the opportunities you wanted, then I would say to somebody, go get those opportunities, because we have the land of opportunity. If you don't like your situation and you're a father of 13 and you're only making $700 a month, I can't imagine what job would pay you that, but if you were only making that, then I would say reevaluate and do something that would propel you into a different plan of action. And you know what? I'm actually guessing you can find one pretty readily. But I don't think that the cities and the counties and the state and the feds coming in to take money from us to then call it helping, it hasn't worked. We haven't solved the problem, because once the government got intervened in the 60s and intervened and claimed this huge problem that we actually didn't have, what have we seen? More people on food stamps, more people on this type of housing, more people. We've never solved the problem by throwing money at it. You can't. You can't do it. It's never worked in the history of government. Just throwing money at this kind of stuff doesn't work. What does work is when you can change somebody's life because you reached out to somebody personally and changed it. Or you were part of a church that helped temporarily, that you actually gave skills and money skills or whatever the case may be in classes, you actually helped those people. But we are not a country that has 45 million people starving. And they keep saying that it isn't true. Go look at the numbers and the deaths compared to what they're actually stating, because the two don't match at all. And so we really do have a problem with the government inserting itself and creating a solution to a problem that didn't exist. Because remember, from the 50s to the 60s, we had the largest increase in our median income in this country in the last 100 years. Yet they claimed that people were poor, coming out of the woodwork. People were so poor. The government had to help. They had to take your money to help. So they had to have all these new programs to do it. What a lie. So I'll go into more depth on this tomorrow on the national show, but I just really wanted to share that with you because I felt like the argument for it is a very emotional one. These people deserve this, or these people should have this. But that's exactly what we aren't about in this country. It is about helping, sure. Volunteerism, Christianity, you bet. But not government style. There's a lot of other countries that do it that way. That's not supposed to be us. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Melissa.
Hi, this is Kate Daly, and I love my sponsors. No matter your situation, Bank of Utah Home Loans can help with the right home loan for you. Call Brian and the Bank of Utah Home Loans team today. 435-986-7221. Bank of Utah Home Loans, helping you grow no matter what stage of life you're in. Copiers for Sale offers Southern Utah the best quality and pricing on printers, copiers, and plotters. They sell, lease, and service any equipment your business or home office needs. Copiersforsale.com, a local company and division of Steamroller Copies, is always asking, what do you want to print today?
Want to participate in stock market gains with zero risk? Join Lyle Boss of Boss Financial, Saturday mornings at 9.
On St. George News Radio, 1450.
FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS, HD4, Leeds.